is one chapter completed, and the next chapter is opening up. For me, you know, when I opened up that rookie contract, I was, wow, this is it. And I completed that chapter. Now it's the next chapter.
They throw what could be a double pass. This is Boyd. Now he wants to throw it back. And the ball picked off by the Jaguars. Josh Allen, has he done enough this year yet? He picked off the double pass and ran it back inside the 10-yard line of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Extremely honored, extremely blessed and humbled to be even given a contract of this size. And, you know, I'm just totally blessed.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, everybody, good morning. Welcome in. Happy draft week. The Jaguars are 3 days away from hopefully improving their football team drastically over the course of 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we're here to chronicle it all. We've been working up to this week. And quite frankly, Tony, I'm glad it's here. I'll be glad when it's done. I love the draft. But at this point, I'm ready to find out how they executed the picks. So I've had enough of the various scenarios playing out, you know, and we're going to do a few more, you know, before we get there, but I'm ready for it to be done now.
Yeah, I will say there's been several years where I was much more sick of the conversation about it than I am going into it this year. You know, the week of the NFL draft, there's been plenty of years where I'm like, my gosh, can we just over. That's all I want is for it to be over, done with, and let's react to whatever's going to happen. I'm excited to see what's going to happen this week for the Jags, but I don't have that same feeling of, I would love for it to be today. You know, like I would have no problem if it was last week that the draft happened to have happened, but I'm not at that same level of sick of talking about all the scenarios for the Jags. And I think a lot of that is because the scenarios are so wide open, right? For what they can do at 17, whether that be move up, down, or what position they may even be looking at. By the time they pick in the first round, there are so many options for them in this year's draft compared to many years in the past that, yeah, it's still fun to me to continue to talk about what they might do at 17.
Yeah, I guess I'm just at the point now, like, I don't know what new there is. I know there maybe are more scenarios
because there's
more uncertainty of who's going to be available. And, you know, when Dave Caldwell was the GM, and they're picking in the top 10 all the time, you only had to figure out a short list of X amount of players, depending on whether you needed a quarterback or not that given year.
Yeah.
And Dave was not one to trade down very often. You know, one great player over three good players. I remember he told us that once. Well, then draft a great player,
get
please.
The great one.
Right? Get a great one, and we will test that theory. But we've seen Trent Baalke be a little bit more willing to go back and try to accumulate value. So we'll see if he goes that way this week. Today, everybody is emptying the coffers with their seven-round mocks. We got a bunch of them out there.
Yeah.
Pro Football Network's got one. You got Jordan Reed over at ESPN did one. Chad Ryder did one at NFL.com. Mm-hmm. Chad's going to join us coming up this hour in just a little over 35 minutes from now to give us his final kind of scoops about where he thinks players are going to go, what he's hearing about which guys maybe have a rising stock or a falling stock, which is more, what are we learning about how teams really feel about those players? You know, we use that term and we understand that it doesn't mean that teams are 1 week grading a guy the 10th best player, and the next week they're saying he's the 50th best player. It doesn't really work like that.
Right.
It's just that we find out the questions that they have about them as the approach draws near. Tony Pauline, we're efforting, if we can get him in based on his schedule right at the end of the show today, we're going to do that as well. Looking at some of his most recent notes columns, Tone, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. There's really a mixed bag of opinions on these quarterbacks in this draft, right? I mean, somebody at Pro Football Network put out their top 10 by position. As a matter of fact, I think they did it this morning. It's not that's Pro Football Network, right? And they've got, like, Bo Nix third among quarterbacks, which is odd to me.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen anything like that. But I have seen people are skeptical of Jaden Daniels. Tony Pauline saying that he hears people think Jaden Daniels is the best bet at quarterback in this class, including Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
That, you know, his game was a lot of sandlot, and they're questioning whether it will translate. I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to be that guy that puts that label on him. I'm just saying that there's a lot of talk out there, even concerning the number one guy, when it's pretty much a foregone conclusion at this point. Chicago's not debating who they're going to take at number one. They're going to take Caleb Williams. Anything else would be a massive upset at this point. But what do the Jags do? We won't know until at least beginning on Thursday. Tomorrow, Tony, we're going to work our way through the week here. We're going to invite some of our local guys on and get their kind of last-minute perspective, and maybe a few more on Thursday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the media mock draft on Wednesday. Pockets, how confident are you that we'll have 16 out of 16 correspondents for the first half of the draft?
Right now, about 93%.
93% confident?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've asked like six people from each team, like either no response or somebody says something and then I don't hear nothing back from them. So,
well,
work in process.
It's all right. It's only your job that depends on it. So that really, we wish you the best. It's been good working with you, and you've got 48 hours to get it done.
No pressure except the pressure.
Yeah. You are Pocket's been on the clock for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. But we will do the media mock draft for roughly the 20th time. This year, and Taylor Dahl is making the selection for the Chicago Bears. She'll do both picks, but we'll have correspondents who cover those teams on a daily basis for the remaining 14, and then we'll hand it off, I believe, Helmets and Heels. Maybe taking like a one-segment kind of halftime pause in between, but they're going to pick up with pick 17 with the Jaguars on the clock. We're not doing trades in the media mock draft.
No.
Would you like to see a trade with your Jaguars on Thursday? It's part of what we're asking you today, Tony. And there are a lot of different ways you can go with a trade. Trade up, trade back, trade the pick for a veteran player, or stick and pick, obviously, with 17. And we're getting a lot of reaction to all these options today. We're asking you, what would be your preferred scenario for the Jaguars just for the first round? And obviously, the draft doesn't end right there, okay? But we've talked about what it would cost to trade into the top 10 to get a wide receiver. Yeah. I'm going to say it costs your first pick, your second pick, and
something next year. Yeah.
I think it's this year, maybe next year. Yeah. I mean, I don't, because I think there could be multiple teams bidding to get up for the same guy. And if that's the case, well, if you've got to jump up, let's say the Jets are trying to move from 10 to 8, well, you got to send a lot more to entice the Falcons to drop. Then they know they can pretty much get whoever they're going to take at 8, at 10, just about. I mean, it's possible like Chicago goes edge rusher and takes the preferred one of their choice, but not going to be much off the board at defense at that point. So it's going to be expensive, but is that your preferred scenario? The Jaguars package 17 with whatever it takes to get up in position to get more likely a Roma Dunze, possibly a Malik Nabers, unlikely to get high enough to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Scenario two, would you rather use the 17th pick in conjunction with whatever else it might take to get a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins, knowing that once you do that trade, let's say $25 million plus per year, right, is what is going to go out there. You know, I was looking at, you see the story that PFT did this weekend about Justin Jefferson and what he's ultimately going to get in his deal.
No.
And how that, well, they basically broke down, like, when the new money gets rolled into these deals, a lot of these deals are being tacked on to what already exists, you know, so that, you know, that $30 million average you can look at for Tyreek Hill and say, well, yeah, according to one way of looking at it, bookkeeping wise, another way it's more like in the mid 20s, right? So, let's just say it's $25 million for Ayuk or T. Higgins. So you got to give up 17. We heard Mia O'Brien report that San Francisco told the Jaguars, if you really want to come knocking on the Ayuk door, start with 17 and Zay Jones, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. And you may say that's no big deal. We're going to have Kirk. We're going to have Gabe Davis. We're going to have the guy we trade for. But that would be part of it. And a big part of it is having to pay that guy like an established veteran, as opposed to the option of taking the best available at 17, Tony, which may not be a wide receiver. But, for instance, if you do take Brian Thomas there, you're going to pay him approximately the same for his four-year deal than you would, or less than you would Ayuk or Higgins, for one.
Yeah.
Right? That, again, doesn't mean that he's better than those guys, and those guys are established at the NFL level. And but this option also leaves you, hey, what if best available is the corner? And I want to pivot to that. What if I want to get an offensive tackle or an edge rusher or whatever? I'm just getting a value of a guy. So that's one option. And then the final one is trade down from 17. And again, we can't know today, Tone, exactly what the board is going to look like at 17. But I think you and I agree. The likelihood is there are going to be a half dozen guys that we'd probably be content with if the Jags took him at 17 who are going to be on the board.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the situation for the Jags in the draft this year and thinking, yeah, I expect there to be a bunch of names that they could go with at 17, I'd like to see them move out of that spot. Okay. Vote that way, you know, in today's
poll. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's one of my preferred scenarios here. Yeah. Honestly, right now, I'm not even going to tell you what's leading. When you click, you can see what's leading the poll. But three of them really doing the heavy lifting in this one, and a fourth not as enticing so far for the folks who voted. But you can vote this morning on social media on the X platform, at MD_1010XL. Don't forget 1010XL Fat Tony and at 1010XL Denmark.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
And we invite you to be a part of the program today. Now, we're going to have a lot of guests over the next few days. Friday is going to be reaction day. We may take some calls on Thursday, but we may not. It depends on how things get structured this week. So what we'd like to do is invite you to check in today. Give us your final kind of draft week thoughts on what you hope transpires for the Jacksonville Jaguars, whether it's the single player you hope they come away with. By the way, I'll give you a little preview. We'll post this later. The Tuesday top five is just going to be give us your top five wish list of players you hope the Jaguars come away with. You can do that in a lot of ways. You can list five guys that you hope they get one at 17, right? These are my top five choices for the first round pick. You could do, hey, here's like three guys I hope that they'll consider in round one. Here's a guy in round two. Here's a late round pick. You can do them that I think they can get this guy in one, this guy in two, this guy in three, this guy in four. However you want to do it, really, we're not going to limit you on that.
And I would say include, if you are one of the ones voting in our poll today, trading to the top 10, then put whoever that guy is you'd be trading for where you want him.
Yes.
You know, on that list of guys that you want to see in there, land. Right.
Yeah. If Odunze's one of those guys.
If he's the top of your list, then put him at the
Marvin
top of your
Harrison's
list.
If Marvin Harrison's one of those guys, and we may even say that you realistically think the Jags have a shot to get, but if you think the Jags can put a package together to get up to four or five, which is where it would take likely to get Marvin Harrison Jr., all right, fine.
And
so
if it's that much your preferred scenario, then put it where it belongs on that list.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll get to all that throughout the course of the week, and then we can cry about who they actually select. Right? It's all fantastic until they use the pick. It's the old used car scenario. It's great. Drive it off the lot. It's used now, and that appreciated in value, and you just never can flip that guy, seemingly, unless he becomes a star right out of the gates. Maybe we could draft some stars, Tony. That would be fine, too. Let's see. What else do we got to tell people? 641-1010 on the Alpro Roofing phone lines. That number good for the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up in the YouTube chat as well. I think we are all set to go. Let's kick off draft week in style. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we continue along here. Draft week, Jacksonville Jaguars looking to improve the talent on their team, like everyone else in the National Football League. One of the options today, would you like to see the Jaguars trade back and accumulate more picks? Jason said, bulky accumulating additional draft picks after what we saw last year. He did move back one spot in the first round, pick up two picks, one of which is going to start at safety for you this year. So, I mean, does it hit every single time? No.
No. But it was a bummer when they made the deals they did early on in the draft that they never moved up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I get it. Like, if that's what people want to be critical of, okay. You know, but they did land a guy who's going to be starting at safety for him this year after moving back a spot.
One spot.
Right?
Like, they got the guy there, and then they moved back again.
They managed to get that done. And no, they didn't have a bunch of successful late picks last year in the draft, but they had the one.
Right, so far. Yeah. Right, that we know. Right, and maybe that's all they turn out to get. But quite frankly, that's what Trent Baalke talked about last week. It's like, you know, you got more dart throws at these guys. And that's the thing. If we thought that there was more science to this and they really knew who the best guy to take was with pick 153.
Yeah.
It's not that.
The draft would be dull.
Right, and it's not that precise, obviously. But and I get it, you know, and that's fine. And another one, you know, Irish Diplomacy said, hey, it's just not as deep a draft this year, and that's fine as well. Moving back, you can accumulate picks next year. you know? Mm-hmm. And who's look, there are going to be guys. I guarantee you there are going to be guys picked in the sixth and seventh round that eventually make Pro Bowls. And this it happens every year, right? I mean, even if it's one or two, find those guys. They're out there. And I get it. You know, the, with COVID, there are more guys staying in school. You got a later draft class. A lot of these guys, you know, when you get to be a fifth or sixth year senior, if you had the ability, you would have left for the draft sooner.
Sure.
And totally understand that. So I just look at the very specific range of options. If the guy I can get at 22, 23, whatever, mm-hmm. I like him just as much. And this is me. And the Jags may not feel this way. And an individual listener may not feel this way, Tony. But if I got Brian Thomas, I can go, man, I can get a Amarius Mims. Or I could get Kool-Aid McKinstry. Or I could get this guy or that guy or the other guy. And I think they all make some degree of sense. I am for moving back and taking those other swings on players. Because maybe you're going to hit on those guys. You just don't know. In the middle round. So, I get it. I really do. And last year, let's say they didn't trade back in the second round. And they traded back. Maybe they take Brenton Strange right where they were.
Maybe, yeah.
Right? I mean, they really love Brenton Strange. We all sit there and go, well, we would have taken Osiris Torrance. Well, that's us. They could have had him. He was sitting. The fact that they didn't and they passed up that chance makes me wonder if they graded him the same way or if they just really coveted Strange and they were trying to maximize the value. That's the thing. If you're going to take Anton Harrison anyway, what's wrong with moving back twice, a total of three picks, I think it was, and ultimately getting the guy anyway and taking those additional swings? Okay, so you hit one out of those additional picks. All right. But that's one guy. Yeah. That's a guy that's going to start for you that you wouldn't have had on your roster. You wouldn't have had the chance to take those shots on those other guys. And those other picks, you know, like Derek Parrish, that was one of the ones they got. Okay, he didn't pan out. Great. You take swings in the seventh round, they don't pan out all the time. Maybe some of the other guys do. Maybe Tyler Lacy has a future, right? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does. Maybe Yasir Abdul. I mean, you know what? We don't know. We didn't see anything out of them. So I'm not trying to sell you on the bright futures of the late round picks of the Jaguars last year. But I don't think the story's been completely told on all of them. We just don't know.
No, you just don't know. I was just looking at the Pro Bowlers from the drafts for the last 2-3 years.
Okay.
Right? And 2 years ago in the 2022 draft, I think it was 5 players made a Pro Bowl that were selected in the 5th round or later. I think the list expands to 6 if you include just day 3. I think it was Jake Ferguson was a 4th round pick at Dallas.
Still pretty good.
Right, like that year. If you go to the year before that, it's a much smaller number, only 1. That was the 5th round or later, and that's Hufanga, the safety there for San Francisco, was a 5th round pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown was a 4th round pick that year.
Well, and here's the thing, Tone. Even if you don't turn out to be a Pro Bowler necessarily, I bet there are a bunch of starters out
Absolutely.
Of those rounds, good, solid players, you know, and great. They're usually a handful of Pro Bowlers, and we're looking at drafts from pretty recent vintage that who's to say in the next 5 years that another half dozen guys don't join Hufanga in that list. And there are going to be years when there just aren't those guys in there. But it happens almost every year that you're going to get some gems in the late rounds that are, like I said, even if they're not Pro Bowlers, they're going to be solid starters or rotational pieces for you, and they have value. And you know, and you could say, hey, the Jags have enough picks already. They only have so many roster spots. All that can be true. I just like having the ammo, even if I end up using it and it amounts to nothing, as long as it's not like, I'm not saying you got the opportunity, man, one of the two corners you absolutely love fell to you. Well, all right, yeah, but I could get a guy I don't love as much, and I'm going to pick up a 5th-round pick for my trouble. I'm not saying that. Hey, if you got 6 guys that are roughly could all help you and they're basically graded the same, I'd be happy with any of those 6.
I'm right there with you.
That's all.
Absolutely.
We'll see. Chad Ryder, he's going to join us coming up. We'll dig into his mock. This may be my favorite 7th-round mock of the year for the Jags. Now, I don't know if that means it's completely unrealistic. It may be, right? He has Terry and Arnold falling to them in round 1. By the way, Tony Pauline, in one of his most recent notes columns, he grades Kool-Aid McKinstry very high. And he said he's seen a lot of speculation that he goes maybe late in the first round, as late as like the fifth corner. He doesn't think he's going to last past the middle of the round. So we'll see.
Okay.
That's a guy the Jags have definitely talked to. But his teammate, Terrion Arnold's the pick here. Braden Fisk is a guy, Tony, that a lot of Jaguar fans would love, but they feel that, you know, the measurables don't match up with Balky's kind of obsession with certain measurables, that he might not really be that highly regarded on their board. We'll see. Oh, my gosh. Be fantastic
in
the middle of that defensive line. Muhammad Kamara, the edge rusher out of Colorado State, very popular third-round selection by a lot of teams looking for edge help. Wouldn't mind that a bit. They go Blake Fisher, a Notre Dame offensive tackle. So I guess Joe Alt went a little earlier is my guess. We had to settle for the other one. But, you know, I don't know much about Blake Fisher, but that's a power five offensive tackle in the fourth round. And they followed up two picks later with Malik Washington out of Virginia, who was a massive target hound in his time there. Now he's a smaller guy and maybe a slot only player, but he's super, super productive. So those first five picks, corner, D-tackle, edge, offensive tackle, wide receiver. I don't know what else you could ask for. And he follows it up with guard, safety, and then corner again. So two on the offensive line, two in the three in the secondary, including a safety, pair of corners. You get a wide receiver. You get edge help. You get D-line help. I don't know what else you could ask for other than the board to fall that way.
Sure. I did see there was a Jaguars fan that had put out a chart that included all the players I think that the Jags have talked to in their top 30 visits and at the combine.
Okay.
Like, it's just players that they've talked to, and they even organized it by position and basically where they're expected to go.
Okay.
In the NFL draft. So among the positions that we've talked about the most right here over the last couple of months here in Jacksonville, at wide receiver, they've talked to Adunze Neighbors, Brian Thomas Jr., among the guys that are expected to be in the first round.
So not, you know, that's big game hunting. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they had Ricky Pearsall, the only one they had in that second round range that they've talked to specifically. Corner, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Nate Wiggins. The three that are in the first round that they've talked to, TJ Tampa, Rake Straw, and Sainstrill in the second round kind of guys. And along the offensive line, because we've talked plenty about that too, Fa'atanu, Fuanga, and Mims, the three on the offensive line that they've at least talked to. Now, that doesn't mean you have to talk to a guy to draft them necessarily, but it does give you some kind of indication of the guys that they're at least circling around a little bit there around 17.
It's interesting with the corners that they talked to, Quinyon Mitchell not among them. In one mock here at Pro Football Network, they had Mitchell going to the Jags at 17 today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting take, and maybe we can ask our correspondents today, as Tony Pauline will join us in the second hour. Chad Ryder, just a few minutes away from NFL.com, says there's projection involved with adding Mitchell into Ryan Nielsen's press man heavy defensive scheme. Mitchell is an off man bandit with elite click and close ability, closing speed and ball skills, and he has the physicality and lean strength to play press. Which sounds like we think he's got the traits to do it, but he really, you know, he played off the guy and used his instincts and his speed and quickness to close on the ball.
Yeah.
And so you wonder, do the Jags look at Mitchell and they go, we've seen enough on film, we don't need to talk to him, we don't want to tip our hand? Or do they look at him and go, well, he's so good, there's no way he's going to make it to us at 17? Mm-hmm. Do they look at him and go, you know, that maybe he's a little bit overrated and we prefer some of these other guys that we're talking to? There's no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing on this until they get the chance to make a selection with multiple players at the same position available, and then you know which one they prefer. So coming up next, we'll prefer to talk to Chad Ryder from NFL.com. Just ran you through the picks that he made for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get his thoughts on what's shifting in the final few days, get a scouting report on Quinyon Mitchell and how he would fit into a heavy press man scheme, although Ryan Nielsen will tell you, we play a lot of zone that we disguise as man as well. So it's not always exactly what you're expecting out there. We'll do that coming up next. Tony Pauline, about an hour and 10 minutes away. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Chad Ryder here with us. One final visit before this year's NFL draft. Perhaps we'll get him back in the next week or two to review what the Jags are able to accomplish over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you on Jaguars Today. Chad Ryder from NFL.com. Chad, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I am going to be so happy when this week is over. It's going to be a great draft. Looking forward to it. But, you know, for me, the fun is getting to learn a new class, which I'll start in May. And it's win-win both ways.
All right. Well, you are just about done with this class then. Let me ask you, you know, as things come down, we know this is, people refer to it as lying season when you can't believe everything, but there is intel that turns out to be accurate out there. And I know a lot of writers and pundits and like to get anonymous scouts to weigh in on things. And then, you know, you always wonder, do they have an agenda or what? Like, you're hearing some last minute Jaden Daniels really should be the number one pick in this draft, but that the Bears are pot committed. In your evaluation, how close did it turn out with the quarterbacks at the top?
Caleb Williams is the number one guy. And people try to think of things to talk about through this time of year. And this is one. And it's a credit to Jaden Daniels, because coming into the year, he's a third round pick, while Caleb Williams was the number one guy. So he's closed that gap with the way he's performed this year. And, you know, Caleb didn't play great in every game. He had some rough patches when he was trying to make plays for his team and it didn't work out. But to me, there's not a question of who the number one guy is at all. And this is the time of year. It's not about lying as much as media kind of catching up with what teams think, and then teams thinking about what their boards, you know, finalizing their boards, come up with their final evaluation, and we're kind of catching up with that at some level. So, I take Caleb 100% of the time.
Chad, we were just discussing some of the players that the Jags have met with during this year's draft process. What do the meetings that teams have with draft eligible players mean for you when you're putting together your mock drafts?
Well, they mean something. I often say that everything means something, but nothing means everything. Okay. So teams have to do these visits, especially with guys that are not able, that are not invited to the combine or not able to do everything at the combine for one reason or another. Or they're not, because they've been able to talk to these guys at the different all-star games and the combines and privately and all this stuff. So, but it's interesting to see who they bring into the facility, because, you know, they will pick a couple of guys from that list. And it also kind of shows you the type of players that they're interested in, even if they don't, because they can't bring in every player that are similar. So it means something in terms of their value. But, you know, a lot of people call them top 30 visits. They're not top 30 anything. They're just 30 visits that, they try to glean some additional information from them and, you know, their teammates. They can glean information about other prospects they might be interested in on the team that guy is playing. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that a team can get out of.
All right, let's talk cornerback here. Chad, as in your 7-round mock that you put out, you've got the Jags taking Terrion Arnold. He is only the second corner off the board. Quinyon Mitchell goes 8th to Atlanta. We're starting to see him sneak into the top 10 in some mocks now. Two-parter here. How likely do you think it is that only one corner goes off the board in the first 16 picks? And then if Arnold were to go, I know you've got three other corners in the first round, but how much separation between Arnold and that next wave of guys?
I think it is Mitchell and Arnold, and then the guys after that. I think there's a pretty good delineation. Arnold could go as early as, you know, 13. I mean, he could go a few spots early, but the thing is that most people don't really think about how big of a range there are for a lot of players. They kind of stick them in a spot. It's like two or three spots long, but really it could be like a 10 spot range. So, but really it's really those two guys, and Arnold could go a little bit earlier. But I think there's a decent chance he'll be, like, for example, I project a trade that the Eagles go up and get Jerry Verse. I could have just easily made that for Terrion Arnold. So Verser Arnold could have ended up in Jacksonville, Cincinnati, those guys are all in that area.
I know you, in your 7-round mock, you wound up with Malik Nabers at 13, right?
Yeah.
In that particular mock, what is the latest that you would expect to see one of those top three wide receivers taken on Thursday?
That would be the latest. Again, like hitting his range would be from pretty much 6 to 13. But, you know, some guys go at the end of their range sometimes. And as I mentioned in the mock, he's very similar to Odell Beckham Jr. and OBJ went 12, 10 years ago. And so it just depends on how many quarterbacks go early, how many, offensive tackles go early. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of factors, but usually a couple of guys that people assume are going to be top 10 picks turn out not to be top 10 picks. So I think Nabers, Odunze is such a steady receiver. He does everything well. Even maybe if he's not quite as dynamic as the other two. So I think if two guys are going to go in the top 10, it's going to be Odunze and Harrison, and maybe Nabers is just outside looking in. If we're going to be surprised by one of the receivers coming out.
Chad, when I look at your mock, and I'd like to give Tony and I credit because we always praise you for getting the Jags' needs right, and therefore it's reinforcing your excellent work there. But when you go corner, defensive tackle, edge, O-tackle, wide receiver, guard with the first six picks, if you ask Jag fans to list the six biggest needs, those might be the six, right? And guard would be up in the air depending on how they're looking at things. But let me ask you, outside of corner and wide receiver, who everybody knows they've got to get help in those areas at some point. When you talk about D-tackle, edge, and offensive tackle, like future potential starters down the line, getting into round three and later, where are you going to find, like, rank those three positions in terms of where you're going to find the best values later in the draft?
I think edge and tackle or edge and defensive tackle are probably similar in the distribution of talent throughout the draft this year. This is not a great edge draft. So, you know, but you can find those mid-round guys that are going to come in and they'll be a DPR at first, designated pass rusher at first, and then, you know, grow into something. And defensive tackles, you can find guys that can eat space. They might not be dynamic rushing the passer, but you get guys that'll help you in the run game. And maybe you get lucky and a more dynamic penetrator is available a little bit later. And then offensive tackle, I would try to get one a little earlier if possible. For example, you know, I've got them getting Blake Fisher in the 4th round, and maybe he goes a little earlier. But again, one of those guys that teams may not think is special in any area, but again, can kind of build himself into something really good in a couple of years. He's still young. And so those kind of values in the 4th round at tackle usually happen in the draft, and he could be one of them.
What player that could be available to the Jags at 17 do you think would draw the most interest from somebody in a trade?
I've done so many of these mock drafts, I can't even remember what I projected anymore. But I think if I haven't done one with the Jags trading down yet, they certainly have that possibility. So Arnold, if the Eagles can't do something with the Seahawks at 16, Howie Rosen is going to be calling the Jaguars to get either Verse or Arnold for sure in the middle. Brian Thomas may get some love. Xavier Worthy could get some interest. All those guys could go in that 15 to 20 area. And when you're talking about like the last of the great receivers, if one of these teams like Buffalo or Kansas City really wants one of them, Arnold as like the top less, the last top tier corner would be in that. Verse would be a great pick for somebody in the middle of the first round. So those are really the guys I think that are going to be, and then the Eagles, maybe if they decide they want their next, Jason Kelce, depending on what they do with Cam Jurgens, they may go for a Graham Barton or something like that in the middle of the round. So those are kind of the guys that are really going to be, I think, in the mix. And of course that there's guys that I think are going to get picked higher. One of those guys falls down. Obviously that trade is bound to happen.
Right. And you know, a lot of those guys you mentioned, could be attractive for the Jags themselves, you know, which could mean that, A, they stick and pick, or there might be five of them there, six of them, you know, and you make that slide back and take what's best available. You know, Chad, it's phenomena. Every year, look at the first wave of mock drafts. I start looking at them in January, right after the season, whatever. And you know, you see a couple of things. You're like, oh, you know, like Braden Fisk, who you had going to the Jags in the second round. I saw him in some mocks like in the fifth round, right? And then you see people start to catch up with the process.
Yeah.
One such name, just a month ago, I saw a lot of people mocking Marshawn Nyland, the Western Michigan edge rusher to Jacksonville at pick 48. Since then, I've heard a lot of people say, don't be surprised if he's not available on day two of the draft. Yourself included, at least in this mock, had him going 28th to Buffalo. Tell us why we should keep our eye out on him as one of the guys who's maybe his stock isn't rising, but we're realizing how much NFL evaluators think of him.
Well, to be honest, when you look at the difference between the 48th pick and the 28th pick, it's really not that much. It really, in terms of true first-round talent, you could stop after 24, 25 picks. So those last picks are going to be guys that are often projected even in the early third, a month ago, or definitely in the top 50. So that's really not a big change. And the difference often between early third, mid-second, and first is do they prove better athleticism during the process than you can really know for sure when you're watching a guy like Nealon play against Mac offensive tackle. And when you prove that, then it kicks up your expectations of that player. And also, just to be honest, as I mentioned, the edge group is not fantastic this year. So a team like that maybe has a late first and then a late second, they're like, look, and the Bills are a perfect example. Look, we could reach for a wide receiver, but why would we do that when we can get a very, very good edge player in Nealon who can get off the edge really? He stood up a lot this year. He's strong against the run, but he's really quick off the edge. And when you can get that guy, and then in the second round, you see the value at wide receiver that's there. And look, if we have to move up a little bit in the second round, give up a fourth or fifth round pick, that's fine. But you got to look at where the overall value in the draft lays. So some guys like Nealon will get kicked up. Some guys like A.D. Mitchell and others that are receivers could get kicked down a little bit because of the way that the draft plays out.
In a somewhat similar situation, Jackson Powers Johnson was talked about so often as the top interior offensive lineman in this year's draft, but Graham Barton seems to have surpassed him in the last couple of weeks. Why?
Well, I think it's been a little longer than that, but I think the Powers Johnson, apparently there's a medical concern of some sort. I haven't been able to find out exactly, but he's not, he's also, look, Creed Humphrey should have been a first-round pick. And teams didn't think of him as a plus athlete, didn't like his lack of length. He snapped with his left hand. I mean, you can come up with reasons not to pick a guy, even though he's really good. And I think Powers Johnson is not a dynamic athlete that some teams want. If he's got a medical concern that they're thinking about. And look, interior offensive linemen, not that many go in the first round. So if you go from the first guy to the second guy, that can be the difference between, 20 to 25 and 40 to 50. And so the same thing with quarterbacks when you're talking, you can go from the third round to the fifth round pretty quick because only so many teams need them. So I think that is more the case with him. But again, he's going to be like Creed Humphrey. If they wait to pick him until the mid-second round, they're going to be playing against him for 10 years.
All right, let's wrap with this, Chad. And as always, we appreciate your time. I know it's a busy week. Give us a guy, first-round type, that you think could go higher than a lot of people have been conditioned to expect. Another one that you think if there's a top 10 projected guy that's most likely to go on a slide on draft night, who would that be?
I think we've talked about them pretty much. I think Quinion Mitchell going 8, I think, would be a surprise to most people who are, more casual observers. And the Falcons could go edge rusher there really easily. But again, it's one of those that sometimes we're a little surprised by a pick in there. So Quinion Mitchell is fantastic corner. Look, C.J. Henderson was not considered a top 10 pick. Derek Stingley was not considered a top 3 pick.
kind of going into the draft until like the days before the draft. So he could be one of those guys. Brock Bowers, you know, a lot of people have been putting him in the middle of the first round for some reason. I think he's a top 10 pick all day. Wouldn't shock me if a team even higher than 9, picked him. You know, it wouldn't shock me if the Chargers took him at 5. He's that good. And so I think people should be aware of that. Neighbors, as we've talked about already, yep, could be one of the guys that comes out. And then we've talked about Marshawn Nealon as that guy coming into the late first. Junior Colson's another guy that people haven't talked about. I wasn't sure how teams were going to handle his not being able to really work out much this period, but apparently that's not been an issue. And so it's just full on, you know, they're ready to go with this talent. So he's going to go earlier. Late first round is a potential. He's the potential Jack Campbell surprise of this draft.
Excellent work, man. You know what? A lot of what you projected won't come to pass. That's the nature of what you do. But obviously you have a great depth of knowledge on these guys, and that's what we appreciate. And you know, you can't know what other teams are going to select, and these mock drafts all fall apart after one or two picks go awry. But we appreciate the effort and the knowledge that goes into it. And we'll look forward to, Chad, catching up with you maybe in a couple weeks when the dust settles and seeing what you think about whatever the Jaguars draft haul ends up being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say that that's why I put in my the lead into the mock draft, which nobody reads, I understand. But right, I put it in there. This is about surprises. This is about projecting things that people aren't thinking about and maybe looking at things in a little different way. And, you know, hopefully some of them will come to pass.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Hey, listen, enjoy the week as much as you can. And when you get a chance to start working on a new crop, I'm sure you're going to enjoy that as well. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks for the kind words. And thanks for the invite, as usual.
You got it, brother. All right, there he goes. Chad Ryder from NFL.com, breaking things down with us here on the program, Tony. You can find Chad at Chad_Ryder on the X platform, Ryder spelled R-E-U-T-E-R. He's got definitely some interesting ones in there. You know, it's like, I don't want Brock Bowers necessarily. I don't think he's necessarily the best value for what the Jags need at the moment. Also, don't like the idea of Indy trading up to number 9 to take him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want them to get him either.
I am impressed enough by Brock Bowers that I would rather not see him land in.
I don't need him in the division. Yeah. You know, can we get a bunch of bad players on those teams if possible? But yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny like that, right? Like, you're like, if we take him, but if they take him, oh, damn it. You know, good pick at 9. That's who he's got. He's got the Colts moving up to number 9 to take Bowers one spot after Quinion Mitchell goes to the Atlanta Falcons, and not the first mock, as we pointed out, that has seen Mitchell rise into the top 10. But Chad's right. You know, for the casual people out there, if you're not like Tony and I are hoovering up a dozen mocks a day at this point in time, you can miss some of the day-to-day changes that we get in there. So if anything you heard piqued your interest, let us know at 641-1010. We'll take a look at today's poll question, where things stand when it returns, when we return, as well as we're asking you for your preferred scenario, given the ones we gave you. Trade in the top 10 for a receiver. Trade the 17th pick as part of a package to get Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins or a comparable type guy, knowing you got to give him a big contract. Stand pat, take the best player that fits your team at 17, or consider the options and trade back in the first round. What suits your fancy the most right now? You can vote @MD_1010XL on the X platform. Hour 2 of Jaguars today, straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, hour 2's here. Tony Pauline about 35 minutes away. We're going to get him in at 11:40 for 10 quality minutes. Very busy schedule this week, obviously, for Tony Pauline. Tomorrow's shaping up. We got Johnny O in hour 2 tomorrow, usually on Wednesday, from Jaguars.com. John Shipley will join us tomorrow of Jaguar Report at 10:40, working on, you know, reaching out to our...
got D-Rock Wednesday.
D-Rock's Wednesday. D-Rock, we got a media mock draft Wednesday there, Pockets.
Okay. We'll switch that up.
Pockets thought he got out of something right there. All right. We'll keep working. D-Rock, Demetrius Harvey, all the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. Hayes Carline, we'll get them all in before the draft gets underway. This one from our good friend Duval Doom on Twitter. Tony, I understand this. I just don't care about more darts to throw at the board. Go get special. if you're not going to trade for an established wide receiver. 13 picks last year with so many of them not even making the team is boring and gross. Harrison and Johnson are great. Still don't want them, meaning, I guess, picks. I'm assuming you want Harrison and Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, go get special. Who's guaranteed to be special in this draft? Okay, can we agree on that first?
Guaranteed, not many.
Oh, are there any?
Yeah, like it's the draft, man. Like
right, all right. So let's say that we agree on there are, I don't know, half dozen guys, eight guys?
Yeah.
Not counting the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I can understand what very much being on the side of I want them to put whatever chips they have to put in to go get one of the top three wide receivers in this draft. Okay, like, I can understand being on that side.
Okay, what if it takes
but that's not guaranteed.
Your first, your second, and your first next year? Are you still on board with that?
I think
some would.
Doom sounds like he
okay,
would be.
But, yeah. And then you know for a fact that that guy's special. You know for a fact, right, that that
no
was the right
know.
Move?
Yeah.
Or it just made you feel better in the short term because you made a bold move?
You think you that they got special.
You hope.
Yeah.
You better damn well hope they got special. Mm-hmm. So, and the funny thing is, the people that don't trust Trent Baalke with later picks, maybe they'll say, well, he's done better in the first round, but that you think Trent Baalke can identify special for you and that he knows exactly how much draft capital that we should expend to go get that? All right. I mean, all right, so let's get three receivers. They're special. Bowers, what if he falls to 17? You know, do we need to – move up to get him. What about Byron Murphy? He might be special, right? At defensive tackle. Okay.
Sure.
Are any of these corners I don't know what that means, right? Like, is it just the three receivers?
Yeah.
That are the special players? And again, by the way, go get them. It's not like here's the price. Anyone who pays it can have them.
Yeah.
You have to have a team that's even willing to move out of the opportunity to take that guy. And the chances are there are going to be a lot of teams with a higher pick than 17 that are going to be just as interested in going to get that player.
Yeah. The draft is complicated. And there's a reason why, you know, when Baalke said last week what he said about the math people are basically saying, no, you don't trade up.
Mm-hmm.
You just stay or you move back, right? Like, there's a reason why they make those kind of arguments, and they would make those kind of arguments. It's exactly that. None of this is a guarantee. None of it, right? You think you can get to three or four so that you can get Marvin Harrison Jr. I agree with you. I would love to see them make that kind of move to go get that guy. That's how much I believe in that guy and in his future prospects in the league. But that's not a guarantee that they're any good. Like,
and you still, even if you like come up with something that you're willing to pay, is Arizona willing to drop from 4 to 17? Because a lot of people are saying, well, Arizona's in a position to trade down to like 11 with Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and then use some of what they got to jump right back up.
Sure.
And not get Harrison, but get Neighbors or Odunze. And that to fall down to 17, the likelihood of them being able to propel themselves back up might take that off the table for them.
I think there is less volatility at a position like wide receiver when we're talking about the top three wide receivers specifically in this draft. I think there's less volatility with that than there is with, say, the top three quarterbacks in this year's class, right? Like, I look at it.
I would agree with that.
Like, I think all three wide receivers are going to wind up being pretty good players in the league. Like, that's the bottom end of what I think, the pretty good receivers in the league. They may not wind up being, you know, five-time Pro Bowlers, like that kind of guy. And you can imagine that they could be, right? Like, there is that scenario where all three of those guys wind up being that good of a player, right? There is that scenario. Quarterback, it's the history of that position in the draft. There's going to be four or five taken in this year's first round. One of them will probably be great. One of them will wind up being okay. Two of them will wind up being fighting for a backup job in 4 years, and one of them will completely bust, right? Like, that's just generally the way that position works because of the volatility of quarterback compared to every other position in the NFL. I do think wide receiver, your bet on one of those top three wide receivers is much better than the bet that some team's going to have to make to go to three or four to get a quarterback, right? I think you're making a better bet on a wide receiver than they are on a quarterback.
Yeah, a safer bet.
Right, in this year's draft.
But that's the case.
Right, that's not a zero-risk move, right? There's no guarantee that you go up and get a Odunze, and I love a Odunze, but you go up and get a Odunze that now you've nailed it, no risk there. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of risk there still. Well, it just feels like there's less risk than there is at other positions potentially there in the top 10, especially. And I don't know how much that affects the price. It probably does to some degree because it's Jacksonville making the offer as opposed to a team that may be coming up there to target one of those quarterbacks. They know Jacksonville's not coming to get a quarterback.
Right.
They know Jacksonville, if they make the offer, they're coming up. Their price is the wide receiver price, right? Like, that's the price the Jags are willing to pay, and that does affect it to some degree. Who knows how it may affect it on Thursday night? And, you know, even in light of the poll we're asking today, I do land on the trade into the top 10 and get a wide receiver. That would be my preferred outcome for what the Jags do in this year's draft. I don't think that's easy necessarily to get done, but that would be my preferred outcome.
Yeah, that would probably be my least preferred outcome, honestly, mm-hmm. because of what I think it would cost to get them. And I look at it like, okay, I think the most likely scenario is the third out of the three, whoever that, if that's Neighbors or Odunze.
Sure.
So let's say to get to, let's just say, and then maybe this wouldn't be the cost, but let's say to get to eight with Atlanta, because you got to get ahead of Chicago, mm-hmm. right? That it did cost you 148 in your first next year. I mean, I'm not willing to pay that.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It is a lot. Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying it, like, here's the thing. They could be looking at the Jets looking to leapfrog the Bears to get Odunze, and all they have to do is fall to 10, and maybe the Jets give them a second-round pick. And they're looking at it like, well, yeah, we'd get an extra first here, but we're also here if we just drop to 10. We get our choice of any edge rusher in the draft, or we know we're guaranteed to get one of the top two defensive players in the draft, or whatever the case may be. So it's not just like you're the only team that's interested. Apparently, a lot of teams are interested in making moves for these particular guys. And what if, I mean, look, is there not a scenario where Brian Thomas Jr. at the end of this year looks like a better option than one of those three? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. is that not within the realm of possible outcomes? The guy did score 17 touchdowns last year at LSU. So you got Thomas, whoever you take at 48, and whatever else you've got to add on top of that, because I don't think those two picks alone get it done. And then are all those players, or is that one guy you got worth those three guys? Maybe he is. And I understand people are wanting to take that big swing. They want to see the big aggressive swing. What if you take the big aggressive swing and you pick the wrong guy? You know, and I'm not saying you have to be fearful and frozen and never make a move. I'm just saying you have to consider.
You make a move because you believe it.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
Right? But who's believing? Trent Baalke. You're making a move because Trent Baalke believes it.
Yeah.
Okay? So everyone's saying make that move. That means that that's what you're doing. It's not that Trent's going, well, the fans want this, so I'm going to do it.
No.
He's going, I want this. This is what I want, and I happen to agree with the fans, and they happen to agree with me. So we'll see how it all goes down. Somebody asked, would we do Ayuk, if we got Ayuk and 31 from the Niners for 17, 48, and Zay Jones? In other words, what Mio said the Niners were looking for if the Jags wanted to trade for Ayuk was the 17th pick plus Zay Jones, right? I think you and I'd give the 48 pick and Zay Jones yesterday to get that done.
Yeah.
Right? So
without hesitation.
So would you then instead say, okay, 17 is Zay Jones, but to make it up to you, we'll let you move up from 48 to 31. That's what the offer is that they're talking about. I'd do that too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically what it is. Keep 48. Okay. Well, I'm looking at this wrong now.
Yeah.
You're moving down from 17 to 31 and you're giving up 48.
And you're giving up 48.
Right. And Zay, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's
the conversation we were having about if they got the deal done with Calvin Ridley, I don't think Zay would be here today.
Probably not.
Right? Like, so if
Zay's a good player, that's not holding me up at all.
Right. If that's what needs to be included in the trade, fine. Like, that wouldn't bother me
absolutely
at all.
So, but in this scenario, instead of like having Ayuk and the 48th pick, you'd have Ayuk and the 31st pick. Big difference to me. Now you're talking about, you're still in that second tier of cornerbacks, potentially,
mm-hmm.
right, at 31. You might get Kool-Aid McKinstry there. You might get Nate Wiggins there if you like him, you know, or whatever the case. You might get a comparable corner to anybody that's available to you at 17 with that pick. And if you don't, maybe you get something else that you'll love with that pick. Maybe you get offensive line, maybe whatever, but you're getting it 17 picks before you otherwise would have been getting it. Plus, you have, with the 31st pick, you get the fifth-year option on whatever player you select, so you get an extra year of team control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that. I'd throw Brandon Ayuk in my lineup right now. Whew. And still have a first-round pick to show for it, even though it's almost the last pick in the round. Yeah, because I could trade back from 31. I can move that back several times, right? Close that gap between 31 and 96, maybe get another third round or something. A lot of things you can do there. I'd be a wheeling and dealing all over the damn board if I could help it. I really would. I'd be always trying to squeeze a penny of value out of this thing. But we'll see. Just a few days away from how it all goes down. Let's look at the rest of some of the highlights from Chad Reuter's Writer's Mock Draft. Got one over at Pro Football Network. Want to take a peek at one of the ESPN. They're all seven-round mocks. That's what they're all up to now, like the full complement of players for what the Jags might do. Tony Pauline, about 25 minutes away with some last-minute kind of draft scuttlebutt, what he's hearing about guys moving around. I think at this stage, I'm most interested in the guys who stand out as potential surprises going early or later than we expected. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the real intel on some of these players and who could be the guy that crashes, if not the top 10, at least the top 16 party, and thus pushing another quality player down in Jacksonville's direction. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today
on 1010XL.
All right, look, whatever you want, doesn't matter. It's all going to happen Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to keep asking you what you want.
But good luck.
In the end, you know what? Can we all agree we want the Jaguars to succeed? Whatever that ultimately means, right? Let's get a Super Bowl championship so we can go, who cares that Balky missed 93% of his picks? Mm-hmm. Or who cares that Trevor Lawrence is the most overrated, long-haired quarterback in the National Football League? Or whatever you want to think about it. Let's just win a damn championship. All right, Tony, in the meantime, we can't do that today, so why don't you take us around the rest of the NFL?
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Houston is re-signing running back and part-time kicker Dari Ogunbowale. Washington has released defensive end Shaka Toney, who was just reinstated after a gambling suspension earlier this week. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott didn't seem to be worried about the timeline when it comes to a new deal getting done with the team when he was asked about it at the Children's Cancer Fund's A Night to Remember on Friday, saying, quote, "I'm focused on here, right now, where I am. That's how I've always been. Anytime y'all have asked me, it's always been about right now, getting better tomorrow, and I've been in this situation before, so it's okay. I'm fine in any situation at that point, betting on myself or playing this year out," end quote. Dak also said that negotiations for a new deal have not really begun, but did express that he had what he called a great conversation with Jerry Jones about a month ago. New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson is not reported for the start of the Jets' voluntary portion of the offseason. Wilson has been on the trade block throughout the offseason. General manager Joe Douglas said on Friday that he has had discussions with other teams, but did add, quote, that there is just no news to report on that, end quote.
All right. We'll see where everything goes. You think this is going to be there's so much speculation. What are the odds it just goes Chicago, Washington, New England, and Arizona making those first four selections? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Depends on what the asking price is, right? And are these quarterbacks all, they're not all interchangeable, right? So do you love J.J. McCarthy enough to make that kind of move if you're Minnesota? Do you love Drake May enough to make that kind of move? All over the board with Drake May, man. I see people think he's, with the right coaching, got the highest ceiling of anybody in this draft. Mm-hmm. I see other people say, oh, he is a long way from even being able to play in the National Football League. And just glad the Jags are not in the market for a quarterback.
Not having to play that game.
Yeah. I'm serious. All right, let's see here. We went through some of the highlights here with Chad Reuter. Just want to go through the 16 picks before it got to the Jags. So you know what was available to them as they go about their process. Seven-round mock. Let me scroll to the right starting spot here. You got Caleb Williams, obviously, going number one. Quarterback to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May to New England, J.J. McCarthy to the Giants, two-spot trade. That's another thing, man. You don't know who's going to jump around. Giants, if they do that, that's good for the Jags if you are looking for them to make a move for a receiver, because they're seen as a very likely landing spot for a wide receiver in the top 10. So now we've got no wide receivers off the board yet. Fifth pick, the Chargers say, well, we're not going to trade out. We're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay, we expect him to be gone. This is interesting. As the Cardinals drop back two spots, but instead of taking Malik Nabers, they take Rome Odunze.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're down to one left. Joe Alt goes to Tennessee. Quinyon Mitchell goes to Atlanta. Brock Bowers to the Colts on a trade up. And then J.C. Latham to the Jets. And again, I don't know if the Jets are passing up a wide receiver
right
at that spot. I've had Jets brass or reporters tell me Odunze or Bowers, either one of them, they can't see them both getting by. So are they settling if Nabers is there? I don't know. But this does open up the possibility, Tony, as Ryder's got Minnesota going with Bo Nix as the fourth quarter, or the the fifth quarterback off the board here. And does he have no, he's got Malik Nabers going to the Raiders. So he doesn't have Michael Penix in there, but he does have five quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think he's got Penix first pick in the second round.
Now, this would be a scenario where I would assume if the Jags like Nabers as much as the public likes Nabers, we've already heard Trent Baalke just say last week, when it gets to around 12, 13, we're going to know, you know, the cost of moving up, the likely. Now, does the cost go up if a player like that slides too? You know, and all of a sudden, if you're Minnesota or you're Arizona in this scenario, I guess it's Minnesota because I'm getting confused by who's moving around the board. But you know what I mean? Like, do they just change your mind? Do they take that guy? Do they say, well, we didn't expect this guy to be here, so the price goes through the roof? Who knows, man?
It could be. Nabers is a good enough prospect that that's a real possibility.
In that scenario, Jaguar fans would be more apoplectic if the Jags don't get him.
Oh.
If he gets outside, if any of these three get outside the top 10,
yeah,
it's a failure on Trent Baalke's part. That's going to be the narrative on
the
Friday.
The nervous energy throughout this entire Jaguars fan base until the third wide receiver name gets called, it's going to be high.
There's been a trade. Is it us?
Right. It's going to be there.
Like, all right. Here, ultimate draft night scenario. Jags trade up with Atlanta. Take Quinyon Mitchell or Byron Murphy.
Oh,
that is your ultimate gut you scenario. I mean, good players probably, right?
I agree.
Really good players. And you're like, all right, we got it. Oh, Dallas Turner, what?
Yeah. Paid the price to get to number eight.
Oh, we got the best third pass rusher in the league, man. Yeah. This is great. He'll be good on those 40% of the snaps he manages his rookie season. Can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah, people will go nuts.
Oh, my gosh, Tony. Are you kidding me? No, here. This is, all right, got a better one, all right? Again, and I'm getting into silliness now because I don't think even Trent Baalke is going to pull a move like this off. Jags trade up to eight, select Brian Thomas, wide receiver out of LSU.
Oh my
graded him. He was our second highest receiver in this draft. As soon as Odunze or Nabers or whatever went, we knew we had to pounce. He wasn't going to last much longer.
You better be right, buddy.
Well, that's what Trent said, right? Yeah. You better be right. I'll trade up and get special. It's special in the eyes of Trent Baalke that you're trading up for, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not opposed to the trade up. I'm open to anything this year. You know what I mean? Like, I have my preferences for how it's going to fall. In fact, let's look at the poll right now. Let's go through because we got Tony Pauline coming up. We may not have time to dig into this any deeper, Tone. We gave four options today. Which is your preferred scenario out of these? Trade into the top 10 for a receiver, which we've talked a lot about, and the cost it may entail. Trade the 17th pick, maybe plus significantly more, maybe not, right? And get Ayuk or Higgins, and then give him the big contract extension that they're seeking. Otherwise, we're not trading a first-round pick for a one-year rental. Take the best available at 17. That could be any position. Trade down from 17. Right? Based on how I feel the board is going to set up, I think the top two corners are going to be gone, right? I'm not convinced that I have to have Brian Thomas there over a number of other receivers. I'm probably trade down based on how I think the board is going to be. Now, look, if Quinyon Mitchell, if the right guy's there, I'm going to change my mind and say take best available.
Sure.
I just think me personally, I'm going to have about a half dozen guys I'm going to be happy with at that pick. And if they trade back and get one of them and accumulate a couple more swings, I'm for that. I would then say, all right, you know, rather than trade, let's say 17-48 and a second next year to go get a rookie receiver, I'll give you 17 for Brandon Ayuk and pay him today. I'd rather go that scenario, and then I'd say trade in the top 10 for an unproven guy and cost yourself the opportunity to add more young premium pick talent. That's my least favorite in that. It sounds like you are the opposite.
Yeah, my top pick would be trading to the top 10 for one of those wide receivers. My among these four options, my second option would be trade 17 for Ayuk or Higgins.
Okay.
Like, it would be making some kind of move on draft day that you walk away from the draft with a top of the depth chart option, a wide receiver. Those would be my top two options. I would have trade down from 17 third and then take best available at 17. And that's more in the anticipation of what I expect the options to be available for the Jags when they're on the board at 17.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be an impossible player for them to pass.
Right. Like it does feel like that's likely to me by the time they get on the clock. So I would love to see them be able to work out a small move back.
By the way, that's impossible to me. They may look and say, well, Terrion Arnold, to pick a name, we grade him at a 93 out of 100, and our next corner is an 87,
mm-hmm.
right? Big gap in our grades where Quinyon Mitchell's a 94, Arnold's a 93. Gotta have him. Can't risk losing him. That's who Shad Khan has hired, right? I mean, you hire a GM, and they don't crowdsource it.
They got to make a decision.
In the end, they've got to, you know, they crowdsource it amongst the coaching staff to some degree and the scouts, but in the end, you got to boil it down to Doug Peterson, who do you want? Okay, I'm going to take that into serious consideration, but final call is X, and it's based on how I graded this guy. It's the world we're living in. You know, Shad Khan's got enough faith in Trent Baalke to make him his general manager and keep him there. I hope he has the foresight to make great picks for
that
3 days
in
a row. All right, let's come back and get the last word we'll get with Tony Pauline, at least before the NFL draft. That is coming up next from SportsKita.com. He'll give us the latest scuttlebutt around the league on who is gaining momentum, who is maybe losing a little of that first-round momentum, and more. Coming your way next. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, down the stretch we come on this Monday. It's draft week. Let's bring in our friend in the industry and simply one of the best out there from SportsKita.com, Mr. Tony Pauline, for a last visit before the NFL draft gets underway in 2024. Tony, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, buddy. And certainly we'd love to recap with you sometime maybe next week and see how you think the Jags did. But let's start with a few general things here, Tony. How many first-rounders do you have graded this year? You know, every team has a different grading system, but how many guys do you think are no doubt first-rounders that, you know, there's no great fall-off if you're in, say, the top 22, 24 picks, whatever?
It's a good question. I usually have anywhere from 18 to 24. This year I have 28 players with solid first-round grades, which is a lot. And it's kind of interesting, if not ironic, in the sense that while I have 28 players with solid first-round grades, I'm struggling to come up with 260 players that have draftable grades. So at the back end of it, I have a lot of free agent players who I think are going to end up selected in the seventh round because of the lack of depth in this draft due to things like the NIL, that extra COVID year, et cetera.
Right. So if you're trading back, right, we're talking a lot about trading back, accumulating assets. Like, what is the cutoff for you that you're really interested in? It doesn't sound like you'd be interested in adding too many sixth and seventh round picks this year. So is it, if I can't get something like the fourth round, the fifth round, I'm kind of wasting my time, spinning my wheels here. What is the cutoff for you?
Yeah, I'd say fourth round. I mean, once you get into the fifth round, you may have some good players there, players who are either injured or didn't live up to expectations last season. But if you're going to trade down, I'm looking for more, you know, third, fourth round selection.
Gotcha.
What is the gap, as you see it, between the top three receivers in this year's draft and Brian Thomas Jr., who you have at 17 on your board?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Thomas. I think the gap on draft day is going to be exactly what you said. I mean, the top three guys are all going to be, you know, top five, top six on my board, and there's a drop off to Thomas. I do believe in the end, though, Thomas is going to be an exceptional player. He's going to be underdrafted.
What about the cornerback cutoff, Tony? You got Terrion Arnold right there at 17. I was reading your notes column and how much you like Kool-Aid McKinstry maybe a little bit more than the consensus out there. In your mind, in the people you've spoken with, is it clear that Mitchell and Arnold are the top two corners league-wide? Like, could somebody like McKinstry surprise and go ahead of one of them? And for you, how much separation, if any, between those top couple and the next wave?
I would be shocked if it's not Quinnon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, or reverse, and then everybody else.
Okay.
I think there is a good quarter of a round difference between those two and the rest. I happen to personally like Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think he's a terrific cover corner. You know, it depends on what you're looking at. If you want the press guy, you're going with Mitchell. If you want the backed off zone type of cornerback, then you're going with Terrion Arnold. But those two are far and away. Everyone I've talked to besides my own board, everyone I talked to have those two as the top corners in the draft.
Tony, Dempsey and I have talked plenty about Nate Wiggins and his size scaring us a little bit going into this draft. Is that something that you think is reasonable for us to be concerned about, or would you like to try and ease our minds in that regard as we're just a few days away from the first round?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's a little bit more with Wiggins. His ball skills are not as polished as the top three cornerbacks in this year's draft. I know he ran the 4.28 at the combine, but you watch the film, he does a lot of chasing receivers down the field. There are some people who believe that Nate Wiggins is going to be a one contract player, that he's not the kind of cornerback that's going to have a long career, sort of a D Milliner type of Kyle Wilson type of, you know, one and done. I'm not of that opinion, but that opinion is out there.
Tony, who's the player or players that could crash the top 10 that not enough people are talking about doing that right now?
You know, the only one I see happening is Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, in large part because people are underrating him. Plus, it's a poor defensive tackle draft, and teams like that sort of player, like defensive tackles, in the first round. Other than that, I really don't see any major, major surprises. I mean, maybe Fuega, the offensive tackle from Oregon State, pops into the top 10 with the Jets at the 10th pick. I don't think there's going to be too many huge surprises.
What do you think would be the best scenario for the Jags at 17?
The best scenario, I think, is one of those top cornerbacks fall to them, and then they have to decide between either Terrion Arnold or Quinnon Mitchell and Brian Thomas. I do think that, you know, Philadelphia 22 could jump over them, could try and trade into the top ahead of Jacksonville to grab one of those cornerbacks, especially if Indianapolis takes a cornerback at 15.
Interesting. Yeah. We're starting to see Mitchell get mocked in some circles to the Atlanta Falcons at 8. Now, you know, maybe they trade back and look for defensive help as well. Are they a team you think is likely to be eagerly fielding calls on Thursday night to see what the market looks like?
I think they will. I mean, obviously you have to wait and see what player falls down to them. Now, there is a belief out there that I heard this weekend that a team could trade up and move ahead of the New York Jets in order to secure Brock Bowers. Because as I've been reporting for the past week at Sports Kita, Bowers is looked upon as one of the most underrated players in this draft. Most teams have him fifth or sixth on their board. So once he gets out of, you know, past the Titans at 7, he becomes value. And I think with Atlanta, with their needs on defense, with the edge rusher, you know, if they're not sold on Dallas Turner, you could get Chop Robinson or Jared Verse later on. If they need a cornerback, you know, Quinnon Mitchell, he's a real good player, but he's not worth the 8th selection of the draft. I know that they like Byron Murphy. I don't think they're going to take Byron Murphy with the 8th pick, but, you know, they could move down a few slots and get Byron Murphy later on. So I think there are several scenarios where teams can move up for either Brock Bowers or one of the receivers, and Atlanta still moves down and fills a need with a good player.
Tony, it feels like there's a broad range of outcomes for where Cooper DeJean's career could go. you know, here in the next 2-3 years. What do you think his best position will wind up being in the NFL?
I've said all along safety, and I know for a fact that some teams have moved Cooper DeJean from their cornerback board to their safety board. Now, why safety? Well, because he played a lot of zone at Iowa, and he's really best facing the action. He struggles making plays with his back to the ball, which is a big red flag for college cornerback. He's a little bit stiff, and he's better making plays moving forward than in reverse. And I think he's eventually going to be a safety. If he's going to be a cornerback, it's going to be in a zone system. I think one of the real values of Cooper DeJean that people don't talk about are his return abilities. You know, obviously, do you want a starting defensive back as your return specialist? Well, with a guy like Cooper DeJean and his athleticism and the new rules, I think absolutely. So I think DeJean, I have him as a second round, late first, early second. I think he's going to end up in the late part of round one as much for his return skills as his defensive back ability.
Tony, Tavondre Sweat of Texas, I know we've spoken about him since the DY. You know, it might have even been you. I've read so many things. I apologize. I can't remember the source. Somebody said that teams were well aware of his partying ways and that he had assured them that was behind them. And obviously this is a big red flag. So you had him kind of valued as a middle of the second round guy. Where do you think he ultimately goes?
I think he struggles to stay in day two. A lot of people think he's going to be a late third round pick. I did talk about the partying issue, the fact that the weight is also an issue. I mean, there was no official weight put up for him at the Senior Bowl. And I was told that moving towards the Senior Bowl, he was well over 380 pounds, came in at 366 pounds at the combine. And you know, when you're 22 years old, you know, that's a lot of weight to be carrying. And the partying has been an issue. And as you pointed out, as I had said, you know, he'd said that he'd gotten past that. The football was a priority. Then he gets caught for a DUI. And it's a shame because the guy is a playmaker. The guy is an explosive defensive tackle who's much more than a gap occupier. Answer your question, I think late third, early fourth is where he ends up.
All right.
How deep into this draft do you think a team will be able to find an offensive lineman that could start from day one if needed?
Well, what offensive line position you're talking about, if you're talking tackle, you're looking at the third round. I mean, deep into the third round, there's that many good offensive tackles on top of the potential eight that could be selected in the first round.
Wow.
The interior offensive line, whether it's center or guard, I mean, it's a lot thinner. Maybe Cooper Beebe or Isaiah Adams is one of the last ones off in the third round. It's kind of strange because at that position, you can usually find good players on day three, and you'll be able to do that this year. Tanner Bordellini of Wisconsin is center. Hunter Norzad of Penn State is center. You know, Brandon Coleman, a guy who played tackle at TCU, projects to the inside. You can usually find those players on the interior offensive line in day three, but the elite guys, the top guys, are going to come off the board very quickly, and you're looking at probably the middle part of round two.
All right, as we wrap up, I know we've asked you about him before, but we've seen the climb of Marshawn Kneeland in mock drafts and evaluators' eyes. Just where are you at on him? Where do you think the league's at with him right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that could be a surprise first-round pick, you know, as the final few selections fall off. I mean, maybe Baltimore. I know that the Niners absolutely love them, but then the Niners went out and signed two free agents, pass rushers. So
right.
would they select him? I like Kneeland. He's had, as I've reported, I believe it's 16 official 30 visits, which is a huge number for a guy that went to the Senior Bowl, went to the combine. He's got clean medicals. He's got clean character. So there's something about Marshawn Kneeland. I think he's eventually going to be an early to mid second round choice. But if there's one guy that people say, wow, I didn't think he was going to go in the first round, it could be Marshawn Kneeland.
Yep, been a lot of that buzz out there about him for sure. All right, Tony Pauline, at Tony Pauline on the X or Twitter platform, whatever you want to call it, over at sportskeeda.com. That's sports, KEEDA.com. And we'll invite Tony back to regale us with his grades for how Trent Baalke and the crew do for the Jacksonville Jaguars after we see all this put into use. Tone, we always appreciate all the insights that you bring us, man. We'll be watching it through some of your observations and seeing if they come to pass. But thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks for having me, and enjoy the draft.
All right, buddy. You know we will. Tony Pauline, just simply awesome. This great stuff, man. Marshawn Nealon is got a rocket strapped to his draft stock right now.
Seems that way, yeah.
You know, and we say that, right, and we talk out of both sides of our mouth. We understand what that really means is it just seems like everyone's come around to the idea that the NFL loves this guy.
Yeah.
And it's not that all of a sudden he's gotten better in the last 3 weeks.
No.
It's that people are realizing it.
Yeah, there was that period between the Super Bowl and the draft where Patrick Mahomes had a rocket attached to him, right? It was like that was the guy that was being talked about maybe sometime in the second round. You know, while we were out there, we had the chance to talk to him at the Super Bowl. And then within a month and a half, it was like, no, this guy's going in the first round.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, this guy might go in the top 10.
Yeah.
Like the conversation with Mahomes just kept going up and up and up. And it's not because I think the league changed their perception of the guy. Everyone caught up to what the league's perception was of Patrick Mahomes. And Nealon feels like that kind of guy this year, where it hadn't changed all that much, I don't think, from a league perspective, but from everyone here and the same thing from the same people, they're like, oh, we haven't been talking enough about this.
Right. Well, and we'd be talking about him a lot more if we were where we were last year. Josh Allen was not under contract. Trayvon Walker had not had a 10-sack season. So now you've got at least your pair of guys that are going to play the majority of snaps at end that you feel, I think, really good about at the moment, but the depth is an issue. Can you spend a pick, even the 48th pick, on that position? You can. I mean, it's a very important position. I'd feel a lot better at 48 than I would anything in the first round with the Jags. All right, let's see pockets. Things starting to shape up. We've got Demetrius Harvey joining us Thursday.
That's correct.
We got John Shipley tomorrow. We got Osier tomorrow working on D-Rock. Going to get Hayes Carline in the pipeline. Media mock draft on Wednesday. 16 picks flawlessly executed, right?
That's right.
Excellent. You might as well go in with confidence, man. You know, we're going to burn you to the ground if we screw it up somehow. It will be your fault. Right. So it's going confident. It'll probably work out. It usually does. And we got a lot to get to this week before the Jags start to exercise those picks. Stick around for Helmets and Heels as they're coming up next. They'll handle the second half of our media mock draft on Wednesday as well. Thanks to Chad Ryder from NFL.com, Tony Pauline of SportsKita.com for joining us, two of our favorite national draft analysts. And we'll turn our attention more to the local scene beginning tomorrow. Thanks to all of you out there for listening as well. For Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. Just a few more days to go until the NFL draft. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.